Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all today?
Blessed and highly favored.
Isn't it a beautiful day out here today?
Yes.
Awesome day. If you're a first-time visitor with us or a repeat visitor, welcome to church. I'm Pastor David Branson, and on behalf of Lakeside United Methodist Church, I'd like to welcome you today. If you look around and it seems people are missing this morning, the rapture has not started in bits and pieces. Our northern friends are flying the coop, as we say, heading back up north. We'll be losing some more this week as well. But it's been great having them in worship with us this winter as well. So, welcome. I'm glad you're with us today. Just a couple of quick announcements today. In your bulletins, you'll find the Connect cards. That's your registration of your attendance. Please fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes around as well. You can place prayer requests on there for the church office email prayer list. Or if you have a prayer request that you would like lifted up today in our service during prayer time, that's what those prayer cards in front of you in the pews there are, those little yellow cards. Just drop, or during the praise music, the ushers will come around and pick those up as well, and then we can pray over those this morning as well. So be sure to do that and drop your connect card in the offering plate. You'll see in your bulletin there are several listings of things going on in the life of the church. I'd like to mention the Mother's Day tea coming up on May 7th. There's details in there about that as well, but you need to purchase a ticket so we can know how much food to prepare and purchase for that as well. So we'll be on the lookout for Mother's Day tea. That's open to the ladies of the church, and you'll see who's selling the tickets there in the bulletin as well. We have a special offering today, Native American Ministries, a ministry near and dear to my heart. Nancy and I will be going to a gathering at the end of the month up in Leesburg at the Life Enrichment Center, the 11th annual Native American gathering. So Nancy and I will be going up for that as well. You have seen some announcements about that, but we will be going up to Leesburg. So if you feel so led, please put something in that special offering for us today. I'm ready to worship the Lord. Are you?
Yes.
Let's do it. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you. Feed us with your word, Jesus, with new perspectives and a vision of your presence. Refresh our hearts this day. Be present in our midst, that we might hear your voice and respond to your call. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Our verse today.
Do you agree with that? And, well, I am reminded of Jesus on the beach. The fishermen are out fishing and they see Jesus and they come close and recognize it as Jesus. And Peter jumps out and swims up to the beach. Jesus asked them if they caught any fish, and they said no. And they did throw their nets on the other side of the boat, and what happened? What happened when they threw their nets on that side? They had more fish than they could even pull into the boat. So they had to drag it up on the beach. Well, I was thinking after a fishing trip, maybe I should have gone over on the other side of the boat on Thursday, because maybe they were the bad luck. And if I would have gone over there, I would have caught fish. You think that would have happened?
Maybe.
And I don't know either. But the disciples listened to Jesus and they followed Jesus. I wasn't a very good follower that day, and I didn't catch any fish. So if we follow Jesus, are good things going to happen? So my friends the other day on the boat, when they tried to encourage me to go to the other side of the boat, that was because they loved me, right? And they wanted to see me succeed just on the other side of the boat. Well, we are called to follow Jesus. And when he says to throw our nets on the other side of the boat, we're to trust him and do that. For those of you that will be staying here today, I want you to listen especially close to the message, because we're going to be talking about that today. And in Sunday school, we're going to have a great lesson there as well. So when Jesus calls and says, throw your net on the other side of the boat, that doesn't mean literally throw your net on the other side of the boat. It means to listen to Jesus and follow him. Does that make sense? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for humor. Thank you for the story of your disciples who did follow you, who did listen, and who did cast their nets. Father, we love you. I ask a blessing upon these young people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Miss Monica has Sunday school today. Since this time in our service, we go before the Lord in prayer, and I can tell you we've got a long list again this week. Our folks have really been struggling with some health issues and health concerns this week, and some new injuries and some surgeries this week, so we need to keep everyone lifted up in prayer and pray for those that are doing okay and continue to do okay as well. Hear these requests this morning. Dorothy Leone, she continues to recover from her hip fracture as well at B and Lakeside. Chuck Blankenship has continued to monitor his situation with not much new information on that as well. Keep Chuck in your prayers. Marty Hartman had his surgery this past week. I'm hoping he's home. Did he come home yesterday?
Yes.
He did come home yesterday. Okay, good. So Marty's doing well after his surgery. Everything went fine. Audra Miller, it's good to see Audra in church today. She's had some issues this week as well. Mary Ann Davis, I don't think Mary Ann is here. She was scheduled to go in this week for shoulder surgery on the other side. And this past week, they think she's dislocated the one she's already had repaired. So keep Mary Ann. She'll be going to the doctor on Tuesday. So they might have to fix the one they've already repaired before they can do the second shoulder. So keep Mary Ann in prayer. Mary Ann Deal as well. She's having severe back issues and things, so keep her in your prayers. I spoke with Pastor Peter Alfieri this week. Now his vision and hearing is really starting to suffer as well, and he's still busy. So he's really, if you know Peter, you might want to give us a call. We could give you his number in the office. He just sounds really down in the dumps. I think he could use some encouragement from his congregation as well. George Brennanstall, friends of Chuck and Joyce as well. He's having breathing issues. Phyllis Harrington, she continues to recover as well from
from her fall as well. Whitney Chanel had a minor car accident. Whitney, I see you here today. I hope you're okay and not too sore. Her and Catherine had a minor car accident, so keep them in your prayers. Bud Van Winkle, cancer. He started his chemotherapy treatments. Derek lifts him up this morning. Teresa Athus just brings with cancer. Cancer is widespread throughout our loved ones as well. John Hanna, he had a oral surgery. Tom Blake, leggy injuries from a hit and run as well. Driver for the Palm Beach County Food Bank, an organization that we support as well, was killed in a jet ski accident last week. He has a wife and no children. He was a part of the thinking group as well. A praise this week as well from Karen Snyder, an unexpected windfall. There she found out her new employer wasn't paying her the right amount of money, so she actually had some shift difference with it all. So we're celebrating that with you as well today, Karen. Yes, and just in time for some home repairs. So it does seem that God provides them to meet you. So I know there's many things that you bring this morning with you. From outside these doors and maybe from within as well. Let's take them before the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Gracious and loving God, what an awesome God you are. Father, we pray with confidence that all these folks we've lifted up in these situations today that we have brought before the cross, we are confident of you listening and hearing and working on our behalf. Father God, we pray this morning that where we are weak, you will make us strong. Father, we pray that in our weakness, we would be humble and that we would be still and listen to that still small voice. Father God, we pray for all of those who you've lifted up by name. We pray for those that have been deeply buried within us. Those that we love and care and cherish, Lord, that maybe have turned from you, that maybe have denounced your love for them. Father, we pray for those this morning as well. Those unspoken prayer requests. The unspoken pleadings of our hearts. Where we think you do not have time for us. Father, you make us strong in our weakness. Father, I pray today that as we go through the rest of this day and our week, that we would proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we see our world in very troubling times, just as in the past. We see that these issues are new issues, new problems we face today in our culture and society. But Father, these things have been going on forever. We pray today, Lord, that you would ease our minds and allow us to comprehend and to deal with what faces us. Father, we love you. We are grateful that you are our God that listens to us. We pray for those that are lost and wandering. Father, we pray for one another. Father, we pray together in your name. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And thine is the kingdom, and the power,
Listen to the invitation to the offering. Let us bring loaves and fishes, gifts and offerings, and lives of love for the sheep of God's world. Would the ushers please come forward to receive our gifts?
Thank you.
Our scripture today is coming from the book of Revelation. Are you okay with that? Hear these words from Revelation 5, verses 11 through 14. Bear with me, you're going to say, what does this have to do with our message today? But you're going to find out. Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's Word. Then I looked and I heard the sound of many angels surrounding the throne, the living creatures and the elders. They numbered in the millions, thousands upon thousands. They said in a loud voice, "Worthy is the slaughtered lamb to receive power, wealth, wisdom, and might, and honor, glory, and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, and in the sea. I heard everything everywhere say, "Blessing, honor, glory, and power belong to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb, forever and always." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Let us pray. Awesome God, today we examine our weaknesses as shown in the Lamb. Father, we ask a blessing upon your words today and the words that I will speak from the pulpit. Father, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What stood out to you in that scripture this morning? The people of God expected a lion to come. Expected majesty to come. And God messed up and sent a lamb. Earlier in this scripture, coming from Revelation in chapter 5, it tells of John weeping. They had these scrolls they could not open. No one was capable of opening these scrolls. He was weeping. Then a voice came to John and said, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." So what do we expect? To see a great lion appear? In this scripture, it's telling us that what came instead was a little lamb. Not only was it just a feeble little lamb, it had been wounded. Maybe to the point of death. The scripture tells us it seemed to be dead. A lamb was dead. The Lamb of the Walking Dead. That's not what we expect in a ferocious leader, is it? The mangled body of a lamb. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us the lion will come and free the people. God sends a lamb. Powerful muscles. Ripping the seals off the scroll. But it's not a lion, it's a lamb. It's just the opposite of what we expect. Do you see power in a lamb? We as Christians, I hope, see the symbolic nature of this lamb. But that's not a figure or an image of strength that we see. This lamb had been slain. And then suddenly we understand that the lion is a lamb. I don't know how many of you sitting here today are feeling weak, are feeling defeated. As we get older, sometimes we feel we can't protect ourselves, right? We can't take care of ourselves all the time. Well, as we learn throughout this message this morning, that God uses our weakness to show His strength. Amen.
Amen.
In our weakness, we'll be made strong. This Lamb comes and does what no one else in heaven and earth could do, but open the scrolls. They wanted a king, and God sent them a savior. They wanted a lion, and God sent them a lamb. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:25, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." Of course, there's no foolishness and weakness in God. But in some of the ways that he operates, doesn't he seem foolish and weak? Have you ever asked God in the midst of your trials, what are you thinking? How am I going to prevail? We don't know what God thinks. The prophet Isaiah says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Jesus tried to show the people the way, didn't he? Even his disciples didn't get it. You hear me say that all the time. We're in good company. The disciples still didn't get it. I truly believe that what might have been on Judas' mind was he saw Jesus in weakness. Judas saw himself more powerful than Jesus. I can get the money from this silly group. Look, they let me hold the purse. Judas saw Jesus operating from weakness rather than strength. The kingdom of God was not going to come like the yeast in the dough, or like the effect of rain on the earth. Something we see as mild and weak, God uses it to show his glory. When we see rain falling, it falls into the frozen ground and turns to ice. You ever seen ice move something? You ever had a road heave up because of the ice? The rain looks so gentle and nurturing. And it can turn into something through God's hands that can move mountains. In weakness, there is strength. The ancient Jewish people were hoping that God would send them power. Someone would come to change the world. They were looking for the Lion of Judah. But instead, the Lamb of God shows up in Bethlehem in what form? The form of a baby. You think if you were invited that evening to come and see this baby, and God told you, "I'm going to use this baby to change the world." Okay, we'll see. It's just a baby. A baby not even born in a home. Born in a manger. Born among the animals. Why didn't God seek out the wise and wealthy, the movers and shakers of the world? Why did he come to beggars and sinners? He spent time among the sick and the lame. You know, Jesus never recruited an army, did he? He didn't need it. He never developed a political party, did he? He didn't need it. He didn't have a battle plan. He never lived in a palace. He was born in a stable. He taught what it meant to be meek, merciful, peacemaker, and the purity of heart. You see Jesus as a peacemaker? How many of you sitting here today picture yourself as a peacemaker? That's good. The rest of you are trouble. I'm telling you, folks, when we come into a situation with our own agendas first, and that we want to be noticed above the crowd, and that we want to stand out, and we want to be known as the first, does that always work for us? The first shall be last. Do we want to come in and change things to the way we like them and think they ought to be? Or do we come in and love those around us and care enough about them and their feelings that we don't destroy them? You don't have to raise your hand on this, but do any of you feel like you've ever destroyed someone by your tone of voice? By your actions? Let me ask you this, did you do it on purpose? That's not the example that Jesus set. When we come into a situation and we want to turn and make it our own, and let our opinions be the only opinions, we're in big trouble. We're in big, big trouble. You know, when we face a problem in our life, and we try to you've heard me stand up here before and say, I've tried to impose my will on my problems. So far, I haven't succeeded very well in that. When in my life I have said, God, take it. It's all yours. You made this mess, you deal with it. Who made the mess? Did God make the mess? I made the mess. How could we face our problems? How could we face discouragement? You've heard me speak of my discouragement at times, my imperfections, my weaknesses, my failures. I tell God, God, straighten me up so I can do more for you. Clean me up. Send me back out into the fray. You know what I hear him say? That's okay, because I wasn't depending on you anyway. My arm will save even as I work through you. I choose to work through you, but it will be my power at work and not yours.
Amen.
Folks, we can't impose our will on others. We are weak. Do you celebrate your weakness? Do you send out cards to your friends and family and say, celebrate today my day of weakness? I'm celebrating a day of weakness this week. Because what does weakness do? It forces us to our knees. It should. It forces us to seek out our Savior. In your moments of weakness, do you seek out your Savior? That's what this is about today. We're not good people. Paul himself said, I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't do it. The good I want to do, I can't do. The evil I do not want to do, I keep doing it. Romans 7. Some of us have physical limitations. Paul even spoke of the thorn in the flesh. After our fishing trip the other day, rocking up and down on that boat, I got home and my knees were rubbed raw. I was gone to the other side of the boat. Maybe I wouldn't have had that problem. But I tried to stand my ground, right, Rose? I'm impressed with Rose. She faded her own clothes. Yay, Rose. I can volunteer to be a gentleman. Rose, you want me to do that? No, and Rose caught a fish. You know, it's dawned on me that Paul saw his limitations as actually opportunities for him to lean on God. Do you see your weaknesses as a blessing? I hope so, in the sense that Paul speaks of here. Paul quit saying, God, take these from me. He trusted God. He stopped saying, take them away. In fact, he said, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians. Now that Paul is going overboard a little bit, isn't it? That's a lot of afflictions. I'll take one or two, but not that six or eight. I don't like hardships. I don't like persecution. I don't like difficulties. But Paul savored them as an opportunity to go to Christ. Do you see those things as blessings to you today? Are you blessed by your afflictions? I got to be honest. I didn't get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for taking these. I just love them. I love these knees. There again, I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it on. The folks were in this boat together. And we have courage as these unschooled, ordinary men of the disciples. We're astonished at what they were able to do. Just everyday people. People like me and you. God can use our weaknesses and failures as much as He can our strengths and our successes. Maybe even more. Maybe even more. So I pray for us today that we recognize God's weakness overcomes the world. In one of my Hebrew verses, John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in you and me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Folks, you don't have to rely on your own strengths and your own abilities. God humbles us for a reason. God gathered us around the manger and said, I'm going to change the world. The Bible doesn't tell us of any snickering going on, does it? But what it does say is those believers went out and told others. Have strength in your weaknesses. Let your weaknesses become your strength. Let them keep you on your knees and come to God for strength. Are you going to take that home with you today?
Amen.
We have a lot of weaknesses, don't we? We have failures. We have momentary lapses of judgment. It could last for years. Folks, it's okay to be weak. The Bible in 1 John tells that everyone born of God overcomes the world. So I want you to leave today here with a good feeling of, no matter how weak I am, how vulnerable I am, my God has overcome the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the message from John this morning, from the book of Revelation, where we expected a lion to come roaring in to save the dead. You sent a poor little mangled lamb and changed the world in ways we cannot imagine. Father, I pray today for each one of our weaknesses, for where we need to become humble, for where we need to not impose our will on others, but to allow God to work through us, to allow God to use each one of us. Father, let us be the lamb. Let us represent you today. We love you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In weakness and humility. Father, we are made strong in you. Let us kneel at the foot of the cross to regain our godly strength. Father, we pray in your holy and precious name, keep us safe, keep us forever on our path of truth. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.